Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy wherever they get their podcasts.
This is RS1. Is RS1
part of the Radio Show Limited Network?
Welcome to Spa-Francorchamps. We're just all set for qualifying. And we started at Mugello, but we've come here to Spa-Francorchamps 2 months later. A little bit of rain in the sky. Track declared wet for the previous session, but it's a great season for the 24H series. Mugello, now Spa-Francorchamps. Then we move to Monza in June. And then the double header we will have in Portugal. Estoril and most recently Villarreal has been announced for the following weekend. It will end with the 24 hours in Barcelona. It's going to be absolutely action-packed and really can't wait. But for the drivers right now, they're waiting for the three qualifying sessions that are lined up just ahead of us. And it's going to be very, very quick fire indeed. But let's go down to the pits to find the very latest. Down to the pit crew.
Well, good evening and afternoon and welcome to what can only be described as a spa day. No, we're not getting pampered and covered in grass or anything and having marvellous massages. We are enjoying the Ardennes weather, which is every single type of weather you could possibly imagine normally at the same time, Diana. Diana and I, we're rekindling a romance in the pit lane that began 19 years ago in British touring cars. They got us back together. Di, a cracking but slightly complex qualifying session coming up.
It certainly is, Nick, because obviously the weather has changed. We talk about the weather a lot, but it does change by the minute here in Spa, and it has done just that. It was sunny earlier. The rain's come out. We're just about to start, go out for these qualifying sessions. Now, there'll be three sessions of 13 minutes each. All the cars will be out there on track, but there'll be an eight-minute break in between each session so that a driver can change. Three drivers from each team have to take part in this qualifying session.
Yep, and the drying track is going to make things very interesting, but there is one thing I need to do. And I need the help of everybody watching on the live stream, everybody listening at home, and our commentators. And it's happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear Diana, happy birthday to you. Back to Bruce.
And all the more exciting.
There's only Nick Dearman could have actually carried that off.
Only Nick could do that. And what style? But meanwhile, the car's out on the track and you can see the windscreen wipers just starting to go around. And as Diana explained, it's quickfire qualifying. Three sessions with just 15 minutes apiece with 8 minutes in between. It's going to be very, very quickfire, but very slippery. And it's about getting probably in each of those sessions two good laps.
13 minutes of qualifying for each of the three segments. However, 13 minutes can very quickly go to zero time here at Spa. It's over 2 minutes to get around here. And for the TCE runners, it's even longer because, of course, their lap time is slower. Perhaps the significant point of this first segment is the cars are on brand new tyres. They've got the heavier fuel load. But the regulations state that you must not, you're only allowed to run an AM driver. You're not allowed to put your superstar in. And the logic of that, of course, is, I don't need to tell our learned audience, but of course, you know, the pro driver, the quickest driver, will get the max out of those new tyres. And for me, Bruce, I think this works really, really well because you've got a contribution from all of your driver lineup. I mean, the teams have, I'm not sure we've got any team that has four drivers. Yes, we have.
Yeah, we do. We have quite a few, actually.
Yeah, quite a few. So, but there's a massive contribution from the AM drivers. It's not like other series where, you know, the superstar, the quickest driver, the superstar driver, the pro driver will get the chance to put the qualifying in. Everyone's got to contribute to this qualifying. And sometimes that's good, sometimes not so good.
Well, what I'm watching, Joe, having watched the World Endurance Championship and commentated last weekend at Spa-Francorchamps, drivers going out and not getting it right on cold tyres. Drivers getting it very, very wrong. And it wasn't just the AM drivers there. It was the very best were coming a cropper. But here, windscreen wipers on, looking out of the commentary box. The track looks almost dry. But as they put the brakes on, they're kicking up a lot of spray as they go up into that source. But it's easier to make a mistake than to get it right on a track like this at Spa-Francorchamps. They came here knowing that would be the case. But for some drivers, it's their first experience. So it's a very, very on-your-toes sort of session.
Awful conditions for the engineers and drivers. The engineers, from the perspective of, you know, working with the driver, they're going to be making that tyre choice right now. What we see on track is areas of this track which are fully dry, and that'll require a slick tyre. However, the braking area into La Source, the cars are kicking up speed. And that's not just a damp track, that's a very, very wet track into that braking area for the right-hand hairpin.
Super slippery. Not all the cars staying out to do a first flying lap. The JP Motorsport McLaren just working its way through the pit lanes. That'll be a bit late out for the session, but the clock is already beating down. Under 10 minutes remain in this 13-minute session. But great gaggles of cars together, tripping themselves up and tripping each other up. And for quite a few of them, actually, still diving into the pit lane in the background. Did they have the wrong sort of tyres on?
Yeah.
They saw it was wet up at here near La Source in the pits, but at the far end, or three-quarters of the track, appears to be close to dry.
And that's where the decision process is going to come in, isn't it? We can, you know what, I need a dry tyre for out at Le Corme and down to Bruxelles, etc. But I can tippy to on slicks through the La Source hairpin. The rest of the lap, I'm just going to tear those wet tyres to shreds. So that's the kind of decision process. I can tell you, though, the CP Racing Mercedes number 85 using all of the track and more at Radion and off down the Kemmel Strait to what will be the first flying lap. And here we are, Bruce. We're well inside the first, 4 minutes? We've already had 4 minutes, and we haven't got a time posted yet.
No, exactly. In fact, just before they had a practice session this morning, their lap times were more like 2 minutes 20, 2 minutes 30 seconds. But Shane Lewis, I thought, was very, very smooth in that number 85 CP Motorsport Mercedes through Radion, not trying to rag it too much, using the curbs, but just enough. We all know wet paint on curbing is not necessarily your friend. The session was declared wet, so wet tyres can be fitted. There's a great livery on that Audi number 755 from Land Motorsport, who are really making quite a splash on their return to the 24RH series. And Christian Land runs such a good team, doesn't he?
Yeah, bad luck for the Land team with that penalty that they soaked up at Mugello. That really put them out of contention. It was the overnight pause that he took a penalty for. It was either that or the car risking retirement the next day. So it was really bad luck on all points.
Well, I can hear a mic open in the pits. I have a feeling, just an inkling, it might be Nick Damon letting us know that his rain dance has or hasn't worked. Nick?
It hasn't worked. As we stand here, most of the cars have come in. They're taking off the wet tyres and putting on the slicks, most noticeably the Land 55 and also the Heart of Racing car. So two different chassis there, rear-wheel, front-engine rear-wheel drive and mid-engine rear-wheel drive. Both of them have gone to slicks, and it looks like they're going to tough it out on the damp patches because the dry around the back of the circuit is worth more in lap time.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Nick. Exactly what we were surmising up here. And it certainly, as we look at La Source, there is still a lot of spray coming out under the heavy braking into there. But other images from around the circuit, occasional windscreen wipers being streaking across the windscreens, but it's looking pretty good down there. Fastest time so far, 2 minutes 38.5 seconds. Olivier Gomez, Vortex at the top of the table there.
Wow.
That's the GTX class.
Yeah, fabulous. You know what? The Vortex team are quite stalwarts of this series. They always enter at least one car. Here we've got they had two cars out at Mugello last year. They were with three cars at Mugello, but it's great to see them back out there. And you know what? I've seen that car evolve, and there was a little less attrition to take into account in Mugello. That car went round and round and round and spent very little time until very late into the 12 hours did we see those cars after we went. And it was silly little things, not mechanical issues, but things like tyre rubber pickup getting lodged into places it shouldn't and stuff like that. That's really, you just can't account for.
Now, it comes as no surprise that as the drivers are getting up to speed. The right tyres are on the car. We're getting quicker times. 2 minutes 30 flat is the best time. Santaloc junior team, Erwan Bastard. So it's two Audis at the top. Olivier Bertels is second for the team that was so impressive. The new team, AS-RT. They're top of the table, separated by half a second. 6 seconds further back to Manuela Gosmer in the best looking car, to my eye, in the field, the metallic green MP Racing Mercedes. So it's three German makes at the top, or two German makes, Audi, Mercedes at the top, and that Vortex pushed back to fourth position. But we're halfway through the session. We're more than that. Only 5 and a bit minutes remain of this 13-minute session. And still, as the cars come past the pit, the windscreen wipers are beating away. It's tiptoes at La Source. The rest of the circuit, not so bad.
Time is not just ticking by, literally zooming by. Such a long lap here, especially in wet conditions as well. That's going to prolong things. 2 minutes 30 is the quickest lap time. So 2.5 minutes to get round here. It's not really a surprise. Teams heading the timing screens already in this session. Santaloc junior team with Erwan Bastard at the wheel of that car. The AS-RT winners at Mugello won their first ever GT race. Brand new team. Sandrine Haas flying the flag of Antigua, home country, and was delighted to take the win at Mugello. They had a podium at the Abu Dhabi 6 hours, and then to carry that on to the top step of the podium at Mugello was fabulous. It was one of those races, Bruce, that it was very hard to pick a winner, even when they they had that 2-lap lead. It was still all sorts of action was going on, and it was right not until the very end where people's anxiety settled a little bit and they began to enjoy the final stages of that race. And there's no doubt we're going to see that car up there.
Now, looking at the 904, which is Red Ant Racing, top of the Porsche charts, if you will, in the 992 class. That's John de Vilder, seventh overall. 2 minutes, he's 10 seconds down on that great lap set by Erwan Bastard. But for so many drivers, a little slip here, a slip there, not having a tyre that's uniformly brilliant around the track. But more and more, even looking at Les Sources from our competitive position, it's not quite as much spray. They're creating a bit of a dry line, but 3.5 minutes remain. Red Ant top of the queue in the 992 cup class, but still Erwan Bastard, the white and blue Santaloc Racing Audi, top of the charts by half a second from Olivier Bertel for AS-RT.
The 992 class, as ever, promises to be another a bit of a fist fight as ever here, with the car that's gone quick as John de Vilder in the Red Ant Racing just pipped the, in fact I just saw the Red Camel's car,
and he got taken away.
He got taken away for track limits, I believe. So it was I was about to talk about Red Camels. I'll talk about the Red Insect, the Red Ant Racing. That's the car that's topping the times. 2 minutes 38.2 is the quickest time in a Porsche Cup car. John de Vilder at the wheel of
We've suddenly had a huge gain from Shearer Sport PHX. That's the team that used to be Phoenix Racing, and Shearer Sport, they've joined this year. They're Audi now top of the table. 2 minutes 26.1 and up into second place. Ian James, Heart of Racing team. That's the Mercedes, of course, used to see him with Aston Martins. But Ian is having a real push through this series.
Yeah, it's Ian's first time there. Lap time coming in there.
I think we might have Nick Damon down in the pits wanting to get in again. Nick? Sorry, that was my error there. I'm sure I heard a squeak. But anyhow, Sven Herberger, top of the charts, car number one. And off the circuit goes our fastest lap time there. Just under 2 minutes remaining. The Ravenol livery car sitting nose on to the barriers. And that's probably just the tiniest of little errors. But off he's gone. And there will be no further lapping from him, I'm quite sure. And where exactly did he hit the curb? He just hit a little bit too much curb. Classic damp track, Joe. Hit a little bit of curb, you slightly overreact, and then you get that pendulum motion. And at Lecom, just across the top of the grass, he went, but luckily stayed clear of the barriers. But up at turn six, he's got going again, but that's his gun spiked. We've got, just over 1 minute, 20 seconds remaining. He won't get round to do another lap beyond. The checkered flag will greet him after the full 13 minutes.
And of course, Bruce, that what we saw there was, at the end of that straight, you are really picking out your braking point and trying to gain a little bit of time. Add in the mix a little bit of changeable track condition, and the track conditions last time by might be completely different to what you're finding now under your brake pedal. So we are going to see It's a bit of a trial and error, voyage of discovery kind of qualifying session. And you and I being in the entertainment business, that's what we can't. I kind of love these mixed sessions sitting here in the commentary box. I hate these sessions when you're out there running a car. It's horrific. It's like you can't. You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, really. You really are.
Right, great to catch a couple of the Audis, because these are the ones that were first and second, and now the bright green car, Santelot Racing. That's Erwin Bastard, who's fallen to fourth, and Olivier Bertels, Hassotti behind. And even as we go towards the end of this session, another car running off one of the Audis in the TCR class. But the cars that could potentially go top are running nose to tail, with Erwin Bastard, the Santelot car 26, the Audi behind, this fellow Audi, car 21 from Hassotti, with Olivier Bertels, Belgian racer, home ground. Now, quite a few drivers, of course, they all love racing at Spa, but the person with the most recent experience is probably Ian James, who was here last weekend with the World Endurance Championship, but now he's in a different car, but he's second in the charts with the Mercedes-AMG, the Heart of Racing team. It was car 121 that went for a little bit of a wander, and that was at Le Source. But importantly, if you see a gravel track, make sure you can drive right to the far side. He did just that. That's the Wolf Power Racing Audi. Very, very trick.
Currently in second as well, the 121. Ivers Vallers is the driver that just had that little bit of a journey across the gravel track. The car's rejoined as the checkered flag already flies. That 30 minutes just whizzes by, doesn't it?
In the blink of an eye, just but at the moment, with that flag flowing, Sven Herberger, we saw him have his little off-track excursion. He's still on top by 1.6 seconds, but a really quick lap are coming in from Olivier Bertels and Erwin Bastard. They're two-thirds of the way through the lap. They're coming up towards the bus stop. But the good news is, with a long shot, you can see there's sunshine over at the far end of the track, up towards Bruxelles and Lecombe. But here in the pits, it's still very grey and still slightly damp into Les Sources. Now, will those two Audis of Bertels and Erwin Bastard do anything about Sven Herberger? And how about Ian James? Erwin Bastard goes top, Olivier Bertels goes into third, but we've still got Ian James to complete his final lap for the Heart of Racing team Mercedes.
Yeah, the number 27, Ian James, who recently, in fact, wasn't it last week the WEC was here?
It was last weekend.
Ian James' first ever, and I would have lost money on this, Ian James' first ever time in the World Endurance Championship here, having taken over the Northwest AMR entry for the World Endurance Championship. So Ian, very familiar, a little bit different car, the Mercedes AMG GT3 to the GTE spec Aston Martin, of course, however... He's gone through Sector 2. We're waiting for his Sector 3 time now. And I expect that time, unless, of course, he's fallen foul of the changeable conditions, I expect Ian James, currently in fourth in the number 27 Mercedes. Now, forgive me, everybody. I am going to say Heart of Racing Aston Martin at least four or five times across this weekend. But I will try my best to keep it with the Heart of Racing. It's by SPS, of course, SPS. The Mercedes support underneath that team. And he's gone to second. I thought he would. 2 minutes 26.1 is Ian James' fastest time.
So he's eventually half a second down on that really good lap from Erwin Bastard for the Santelot Junior team. Audi number 26, a real chopping and changing. You think with one more lap we could have had big change. And right at the end to top the Porsche Cup class, Bert Longer from PK Car Sport, a lot of racing in his Porsches around Europe. He goes up to fifth place overall, just ahead of Javier Morcillo, who's been a long-time supporter of the 24H series. Actually, a few years away now, but he moves up to sixth at the end to go second. Sorry, he's in a GT3 class car, but he's very well placed in the AM. But bear in mind, Ian James, Heart of Racing, Mercedes, tops the GT3 AM class. So many classes, but overall, just half a second down on Erwin Bastard.
Yeah, it's going to be cracking when we start seeing the likes of Roman De Angelis taken to the wheel of that Mercedes as well as the other pro drivers that we've got to qualify yet. Looking at the 992 class, fifth overall, is absolutely fabulous lap time for Bert Longin in the PK Car Sport. That's car 924. Second in the 992 class is Ivo Breukers. Ivo putting in a time of 2:31.7 in car 909, currently 8th overall. And then just behind him, 2:31. Where's the average? So the Ivo Breukers time, 2:31.738, 2:31.770 for Yannick Redont in the Red Ant Racing Porsche. Look how close those red teams are. Red Camel versus Red Ant. We've said that before in the 24-inch series, and I think that's going to continue.
Well, let's just go down and see what the thoughts are down in the pit lane, and if what Nick has noticed in that session, apart from his brilliant rain dance at the start. Nick, any news?
Plenty of news. We're waiting for Irwin to come back to have a chat with him. A couple of the cars are already getting to the end of the pit lane. It's a very long pit lane, remember. They're using both halves. They aren't popping out Formula One style at the end of the top pits. They're running down because that's where the fuel station is. I think it's a loop around a couple of the lower garages. But when we get Irwin, we'll have a chat and see what it was like out there on the track.
Brilliant, Nick. Thanks very much. And in fact, the cars are still coming into the pits, streaming in. But again, it's an opportunity for the drivers to check what the circuit is, what the inroad to the pit is like when they come in. In the race, it could also be slightly damp. So all the track time, Joe, has to be used and experience has to be logged.
I've seen about 17 different weather forecasts for this weekend, Bruce. But then again, you know, that it's Spa. It's Spa-Francorchamps. And we're in the, you know, high ground of the Ardennes. It's renowned for weather, doesn't matter what time of year it is. Somebody was telling us, it was Sandrine Haas who was telling us this morning over a coffee that she's been here in July and it snowed. You know, there's no snow forecast, I've got to say. We have got differing forecasts. Every time you look, it's different. There is going to be rain. I'm going to stick at that. There is going to be rain. There is going to be dry track. And it's going to be, you know what, the saying is, and I'm going to say this more than once as well across the weekend, endurance races are one on the pit wall. And there's none more so a place than here at Spa because of that, because of the weather, because of the changeable conditions. And there's going to be an element of luck that you're going to need as well to be track position-wise when we talk about Code 60s coming in. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a typical Spa-Francorchamps race.
Well, of that you can be sure, but of course it's so quick fire. The checkered flag was waved, the cars report to the pits, and already the cars that came in as soon as they could are sitting at pit exit, ready to get back out there. And it is going to be very quick fire. A very short amount of time, Joe, for the drivers who've just been out there to impart exactly the information that they need to get across while strapping in their next teammate. Just 8 minutes between flag fall and the start of the next session.
Yeah, I would think it's vitally important. You know, you always get that handover process, don't you, where the outgoing driver will tell the incoming driver, you know, watch out for the damp patch. Well, you know, there's many, many damp patches out there.
Most certainly, Joe. But let's go down because Nick is in the pit lane. Let's hear from an interview with the driver who was quickest.
It's not Nick. Myself, Diana, I'm here. I've got to work on my birthday, you know. I can't take too much time off. Irwin, you've set the benchmark during that first session. But first of all, tell me how conditions are out there on track.
Yeah, it's a bit tricky out there. First corner is a bit wet, I would say. This is the only corner that's wet. So I was over-pushing a bit each lap. But otherwise, the rest of the track is pretty much dry, so... Yeah, a bit difficult to find my marks, but yeah, it went well. So I hope it will go well for my teammates, and yeah, we'll see what happens.
It's always tricky in these conditions, isn't it, when it's wet, dry, and also having such a big grid.
Yeah, and that's a lot of, there is a lot of people on track. It's difficult to manage the traffic because some amateurs are not used to wet track, so you need to find some space and be able to do your time, but yeah. I find at least one lap and it was enough.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. And quite clearly, that was not Nick. That was Di down in the pit lane. So my error there. But Irwin Bastard, I mean, the last couple of years have been phenomenal for his career. He stepped in and stepped up. GT4, tick. GT3, oh, instantly very quick indeed. And again, chalk up another track in which he's shone. But of course, he now has to rely on his teammates because it's three qualifying. Just explain, Joe, how the three qualifying sessions knit together.
So what we've got is three 30-minute qualifying sessions where three separate drivers. At the session we've just had, the first segment, you're only allowed to run an AM driver in that because we've got fresh tyres and we've got a full fuel tank, or a fuel tank that will get you through three 13-minute sessions. During the interval between the phases, you're not allowed to put any new tyres on. You're only allowed to check tyre pressures. You're not allowed to refuel, so the fuel load will come down. And the fuel load will come down, and the more we get into these next two sessions where we've got a different type of driver. We might have two pro drivers, for instance. And basically, each driver will put in a lap time, and then the qualifying lap time is an actual average of the three. So it's not the quickest of the three, because that would defeat the object of putting the AM driver in against the pro driver. So it's an average of the three. So each driver gets to contribute to where they qualify. And I think that's a fabulous idea. And it also, it really mixes up the grid. And depending on, again, a day like today, there's an element of luck, there's an element of you know, when you actually get out there. And what we can see at the moment with regards to using the Red Camel car, the 909, as an example, they put Rick Broekers out. Now, Rick is arguably their fastest driver. It's a father and son's team, Rick and Luke Broekers, sons of Ivo Broekers. Ivo, definitely the AM. He's the older driver, and he's put his two sons in. Now, Rick, who's in the car at the moment, GTD class winner at Daytona twice, and a Sebring 12-hour class winner in GTD with the Grasso Lamborghini team, I believe. He knows what he's doing, and all right, he's pegged back a little bit on the international driving, and he's not just driving that car, he's running the operations and logistics of that Red Camel team, getting it here to Spa and through the rest of the season.
Well, you can be sure that the track is now considered dry enough, is it not, for dry tyres the whole way round? And that might be just the reason that Rick Broekers has been put in that car. Make the most on a track that's still a little bit troublesome for dry tyres, but it's got to be worth pushing.
Yeah, no intermediates here. Hankook tyres providing a slick dry tyre or a wet tyre. Now then, scrubbed wets, if you've got them at the back of the garage, will act as a great set of intermediates. Less rubber on the tyre, and maybe, you know, for maybe just damp conditions, you might have a set of them just waiting there for when the conditions are ideal. Plus, if there's rain forecast, which there is right now, it might be a kind of a worn wet that you need rather than for torrential rain.
It could also be this, if rain is forecast the next 20 minutes, it could come in and hit the driver who's going third. So if you've got someone who can maximise these slightly greasy conditions, well, let's see how it's going to unfold. And likewise, Roman De Angelis has been put aboard the 27 Heart of Racing Team Mercedes. We know they're already second overall on the aggregates after, no aggregates, after the first qualifying session. But, you know, the tall Canadian is very quick. He's still learning his way on European circuits, but could be a very, very sharp tool.
And you know what, to put him in the car second, he's going to still have a lot of tyre underneath him, so that's going to benefit him greatly. I mean, Graeme Newell, again, he's an AM driver, so they have chosen to put the I can't believe Roman De Angelis is still a semi-pro. I mean, you know, considering his experience and his speed.
Yeah.
But he's classed as a semi-pro, so he goes second. He's not allowed to go first. So you'll see that car optimised now.
Of course. Now also looking not too shabby a name to go into the Audi that's sitting third overall. Shearer Sport PHX. Ooh, one Pierre Caffer. How many years has been racing those Audi R8 LMSs? He should be very quick. And as I say that, he just puts in the fastest second sector of anybody. So he's still got it.
Current champions, of course, in the guise of the Phoenix team. Shearer Sport taking over. I think that's Shearer Sport with Phoenix, actually. So a bit of collaboration going on there for the number one car, the Audi R8. And it was a car that missed the first round of the European season at Mugello last month. So they're out for the first time and will want to maximise their run here this weekend to give them a better chance of retaining the championship.
Just looking to see who else is flying in summer. Matthias Besch, Moderna Motorsports Porsche, brand new. It's one of the brand new cars. They're down in 19th position, Moderna Motorsports, but he's just put the fastest first sector of anybody. And Pierre Caffer goes top, 2 minutes 24.891 seconds. So that's already 0.8 of a second quicker than Erwin Bastard managed in the 26 Santaloc Racing Audi to top the first session. That's good, but I'm just waiting to see how Matthias Besch will move up. Oh, there he goes. He suddenly shoots up to fourth place, becomes fifth place because the best of those 992 Cup class went ahead. That's Rick Broekers, so he did exactly what he was required to do. But the order at the moment is Pierre Caffer for Shearer Sport PHX, Santaloc Racing Junior Team, also an Audi, and a third Audi. Now with Mathieu Dutry at the wheel, that's Haas RT. The best of the rest is Rick Broekers, fourth overall in his 992.
A lot of cars being pinged, Bruce.
Yeah.
I saw the Corby de Broekers red car going right up there, fifth overall, and then disappeared. So the officials really are getting a handle on the track limits there. He was right on the tail of the Breakers Red Camel car. Another car to keep an eye on, Stefano Monaco at the wheel of the HRT Performance number 967. They've gone sixth overall, and I'm just going to pay attention to the averages now as the two times being set. We're now going to focus on the averages.
I'm just going to throw someone into the mix. He's down in about 20th position, 24th actually. Land Motorsport Audi. Oh, Christopher Mies, he's quick, isn't he? Now, where's he going to go? He's suddenly going to, up to fourth place. So it's four Audis, two Porsches, an Audi and another Porsche. Fairly consistent at the top, but the Audi crews have got the smile on their face. But what's the clock say? 6.5 minutes remain. Time of plenty to go on. 919 Porsche facing the wrong way at La Source. So that tricky wet area, that's one of the Black Falcon Team Techstar cars, and that's got going. Matt Kehoe, American racer, has got it going again. So luckily he didn't hit anything, but that won't have helped the tyres enormously. But again, it's slightly damp up there. Oh, we've got another car off up there. It's orange and it's facing sideways across the track. Is it one of the Vortexes? I can't quite see.
Now
at La Source. The Red Camel Porsche? No, it's a Vortex.
Is it a Vortex or is it a McLaren?
No, it's Vortex. It's all orange.
I apologise to McLaren. It's a Vortex. Now then, two cars off at La Source, a Porsche, the Black Falcon Porsche, and the Vortex.
Right.
Wet.
It's changing conditions in the pit lane, Nick.
Yes, I'm not surprised they're off at La Source because it's raining again in the pit lane and therefore along that straight from the bus stop chicane. It's not chucking it down, but there is enough precipitation to make the unwise get caught out by a sudden change of grip when they get to that corner.
It's raining all the way around as well, Bruce, all the way along the Kemmel Street into Le Combe.
Exactly, Le Combe seems to be the wettest part. Last time I glanced and had a camera angle looking down, well, up. It's higher than our point here up at Le Combe. It was vaguely sunny. Now it's properly wet. And, of course, all the way down the slope through Bruxelles, through Speaker's Corner. And then, of course, it's now called Double Gauche, Double Left. But we all think of it as Pouhon. Such a tricky corner. Of course, now there's much more runoff than there was 20, 30 years ago. Jonathan Palmer had that enormous accident down there in Group C in a Porsche. But it's such a difficult corner.
I saw something that said that the Speaker's Corner, the left-hander after Bruxelles, is now called Jackie Eek's Corner.
That's right. That came out last weekend.
Was it last weekend, was it?
Yeah, well, it was the first time I noticed it, so it might have happened since the start of the year. Now, there was this concept, a little bit greasy at the start of the first session with a little bit of a wet track. Then it dried out, put the big guns in, but now they're having to earn their corn. This is very, very tricky indeed for them because it's still, as you come up through Blanchimont, it still seems to be fine. Pits, as Nick Damon just reported, little bit rain coming through. That appears to have blown past, but certainly the climb from Redion all the way up the Kemmel Strait to Le Combe. But even as we speak, that doesn't appear to be quite as bad as it was a couple of minutes ago. But for every driver, is that kernel of a seed of a thought in their mind?
Yeah.
What am I going to find when I arrive and try to do the braking for Le Combe?
And it takes a lot of feel, doesn't it? Pierre Caffer goes to the top of the screens. A 1:24.891 is his time. That's a comparison to a 2:24. 2:26 was his teammate's time in that number one Shearer Sport Audi. That's given them an average of a 2:25.5. And the next quickest average is Owen Bastard in the showing, driving the 26. Didn't Owen qualify the car first?
He was the fastest driver in the first session.
That's a driver ID issue with the number 26 Sonderloch car.
Well, it's the choice of Paul Evrard or Antoine Ducoin, who's the third name on the roof of the car over the door. Looking for anybody else moving, but of course none of the times are going to improve because the track is much better, worse than it was about 5 minutes ago. Rob Huff braking hard in his number 117 Audi on the TCR Audis. We used to have loads of these in the 24H series, but the TCR number has dwindled, Drew.
Yeah, it's a big talking point, actually, of just how the development and the evolution of the TCR class has made them a more bespoke kind of race car, and hence the cost of running these cars have gone up. And TCR, a category of racing that was aimed at sprint racing, of course, not long-distance endurance racing. So we've had some attrition issues with various models. So we have seen the TCR class in our Touring Car Endurance Championship begin to dwindle. Huffy really having to hustle that car there. I mean, you know, World Touring Car Champion. If anyone can make a TCR Audi RS3 and optimise one of those cars, it's Rob Huff. And we can see that car just sliding around underneath him, as it is with pretty much all of our runners. The TCR class being represented by just one car this weekend. The number 331 car is out on track. And that's a great little car. The BMW M2 is one of the prettiest looking race cars. I mean, it's a turnkey car as well, and we've had issues of the driver, the keys being left in the car taped so that the driver can't walk away with the car, the outgoing driver can't walk away with the cars with the car keys, because you know, that can cause problems with the incoming driver leaving the pit and in the car just stopping. I'm not sure we've actually had that happen, but that is a potential with those TC class BMW M2s.
Yeah, I see a lot of them racing on the Nürburgring Langstrecken series, and exactly, they are, yeah, arrive and drive, and their numbers have swelled over the years. But that whole concept, I've got a BMW at home, and I constantly walk into the house with the keys. My wife gets it and then can't drive it off. But
it's probably now, a good thing, knowing Vanessa.
Yeah, well, there you go. Right, so that average at the moment, 2 minutes 25.529, that's the average, because the best lap was set so far. Pierre Caffer, who's in the pits, almost everybody is now in the pits. I think they're missing Nick and Di. They've come in to have a chat with them, perhaps, but there's no point continuing this session. It's come in. So let's go down. I talk about Pierre Caffer, and the man in the pits who needed to catch Pierre has done just that. Nick.
Pierre, it's great to be fast. It's even best to be fast at exactly the right time as far as the wet, dry nature of the track's concerned.
Yeah, well, you know, this is typical Spa here. And we all know Spa, it's beautiful to drive in the summertime. But also when it starts to be drizzling like now it starts to rain. But we all know in 10 minutes it can be also, again, the dry conditions again. So, but luckily, yeah, we pinched it out on the right time. And now I'm crossing my fingers, it's not over yet for Elia, that we will do the right tyre choice. But so far, we are pleased and happy.
When every corner you arrive at is different how it was the previous lap, how close are you to the edge? How much are you holding back because of the changeable conditions?
Oh, well, I think in a qualifying, nobody holding back. First of all, and second of all, yeah, you have a little bit of safety margin. But not that much in a qualifying, because qualifying is qualifying.
Great stuff. Thank you, Pierre.
You're welcome.
And that, dear viewers, is why Pierre Caffer is Pierre Caffer, and Bruce Jones and Joe Bradley are in the commentary box.
Many, many times over. Damn, Joe, you mentioned it. But a few cars still out on the circuit, but I think that's simply to get experience. And the Herbeth Motorsport number 91 is still circulating, and that's Robert Renard at the wheel, but... He knows quite a lot about Porsches, doesn't he? But again, he's just assessing the situation. Matthias Besch is also still has been out on the circuit, but he must have just squeaked in before the checkered flag and just thought, let's do another reconnaissance lap. And as he does that, he drives completely off the circuit at Lacombe, so it was wetter than he expected. That's actually the Modena Motorsport Porsche with him, Matthias Besch, top of the hill. So yes, he can now confirm it's fully wet and rather slippery at Lacombe, and he arrived at really rather low speed as well, so I don't know what quite was going on there for Matthias Besch.
That, Bruce, is actually better for the drivers. You know, it's a consistent condition of track, i.e. very wet, rather than some bits being dry, some bits being damp, some bits being wet. The drivers know what they've got to contend with. Everywhere is wet. Everywhere. It's really, really buckling down here now at Spa. I'm not sure if you're watching on the live stream, you can actually detect and see just how heavy the rain is, but it really is. We've got the checkered flag bringing to a conclusion the second segment of three. So the final segment of qualifying about... So the final 13 minutes of qualifying, where we aggregate the three lap times from three drivers from each car, and we will see just how the grid is going to look for tomorrow's race start.
Well, it's going to chop and change. One car is actually still out there. I'm not sure if he's just squeaked into the checkered flag and is just coming on home, or if he's gone for an extra lap. 418, one of the Mercedes AMGs in the GT4 class, but right down at the tail, 41st position, flashing across the windscreen there. But the important thing for his teammate, the third driver of the trio, of a quartet, is to get the car back and get them strapped in. One of the cars waiting down. It's it's the Willy Motorsports, but EB Motors Porsche almost ran over the line to exit the pits before the next qualifying session is completed. And it still carries that message on the front, just married in Mugello. Of course, that was Fabrizio Brogi's car, wasn't it? Sitting there waiting.
We actually awarded them the Spirit of the Race Award because that really was the spirit of the race. He got married in Mugello, and then so effectively the race weekend was his honeymoon. And Mrs. Brogio was quite happy with that. She's a keeper. She's definitely a keeper, Bruce.
Well, it's going to be very, very busy. And the last car will be coming in. But clearly most of the teams decided to back out of that session. They knew they weren't going to improve towards the end as the rain became considerably heavier. And now they're all jockeying for position to drive up from the top pits around the corner on the inside at the source and down towards pit exit. A tractor's going around to clear up possibly some gravel that was brought back on the track. We had a few cars running off through the gravel, but it's also that dreadful moment when they come back. I'm back on the track. And yes, well done. You just dropped all your gravel.
The other thing that the circuit officials don't like is to see, having had a car travel through the gravel trap, you then create two ruts. And what ruts can create if a car goes into the gravel is very much, you know, a thing that will trip the car up and potentially put the car on the roof. So they'll smooth it out before the next session. And that's what we sometimes see sort of circuit management going ahead and doing.
Yeah, in fact, as you explained that, the tractor did precisely that. It's now parked up at Les Combes because time waits for no man. The next session should be starting in 3.5 minutes' time. Cars aplenty lined up and down the pit lane and forming down at pit exit. But so you can be sure if anybody started that session on anything other than wet weather tyres, or if they started on slicks, they would be really not thinking that's a good idea for session number three. Again, to reiterate, 13 minutes of action, and then we'll have all three sessions. The aggregate from that will produce our pole time. But at the moment, Shearer Sport PHX are on top of the charts by a whisker over 1 second.
Classically,
over the two.
Fastest in the 992 class is the Red Camel car. That had Rick Broikers put in the second segment time there. But I think we've got Diana is in the pits. Let's head down to the pits for Diana Biggs.
Diana, let's hear from you.
I'm with Rob Half, Wolf Power Racing, TCR, quickest in that session, Rob. First of all, tell me about the conditions out there on the circuit and how tricky they are.
Well, it was dry, and then it got progressively wetter and wetter, and it's big lumps of rain that are falling out of the sky. It makes a big difference quite quickly, but also with the new surface, it's really tricky to know where the grip is, to find the grip. And obviously we've got many different classes of cars and drivers as well. So it's just about trying to get a semi-clear lap in. We managed to get quite a good lap in, not the best, but still quite good. So, Marcus started on 4 wet tyres. I went with 4 slick tyres. We've now set Marcus with slick front, wet rear. It's raining quite a lot up the other end of the circuit. We lost quite a lot of heat in the temperature of the rear tyres on that very last lap. So I just made the call to put wets on the rear for him.
Is this when the experience comes in, Rob? We know you as a very experienced driver. I guess you've got to put all of that together just to deal with these changing situations.
You're telling me I'm old now, isn't it?
No.
Yeah, I think so. You just have to call on experience from here. We've raced touring cars here many, many times, and we know that it has its own microclimate, and it can be raining one end, dry the other. So you've just got to try and play the percentage games, and I think we've done every combination of time. So hopefully it will work.
You can't take your eye off the ball here, can you?
And this is what I say, literally you can have 3 corners where it's almost like a monsoon and the rest of the track dry. So it's so difficult to know where the loss and gain is and which tyres you're going to be better off on. You're just in the lap of the gods here.
They say that this is on everyone's bucket list that wants to race. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, I'm very lucky that I've been able to tick the Spa box quite a few times. It's an amazing track, an amazing venue. The elevation, the roller coaster ride you're on throughout the whole track is just awesome. You can't rival it in the history of this place. It's just amazing. And then you throw in these, horrific weather conditions. It just makes it exciting, and no one knows what's going to happen. That's the best bit. No one's got a clue, because you can have the fastest car, but if you're on the wrong tyres at the wrong time, then it's all going to go wrong.
I know, it's like us running up and down the pit lane trying to talk to everyone to find out what they're doing. You're on your toes the whole time, but thanks for the moment, Rob.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
Thank you very much, and that was Rob Huff, formerly of the Meteorological Office. I loved his description, great lumps of rain, but we saw that earlier. There was a little flurry at about late morning, and I went out, and the ground was dry apart from black circles about a centimetre wide from each individual raindrop. It was quite extraordinary, but very Spa in many ways.
Good description from Rob Hough there. He mentioned the history of this place, of course, and the place is soaked in motorsport history. The old road course was perhaps the most daunting road of all, even more daunting than the Nürburgring, because of the speed of the place. It was at the time in the late 60s, it might have been 1970, when it was the fastest Formula One track.
With an average speed of 150 miles an hour around the lap.
Yeah, that's how fast it was. It became outdated into the 70s, and now we've got this modern facility. But the thing that I loved about what they've done here, Bruce, they've still, with the modern track, this modern iteration which we race around now, they've still captured the character of the old road course, which was quite a massive achievement in my view.
Well, very, very few circuits have managed to retain that. Absolutely. They've had a modern iteration of what went before. Just take the Österreichring, another incredibly fast Grand Prix circuit.
Yeah.
Through the 1970s, of course, it disappeared. It came back as a A1 ring and Red Bull ring, but then he's part of it. You know, but here, they really have captured that essence. Even at Corb Paul Frere, which I used to call Stavelot, but it was rejoining the circuit where it used to come up the
That's
hill.
Right.
On that blast from Stavelot. Still had trees, it still had the track down low, up high, going around corners through Blanchimont, corners that really focused the mind.
And of course, Eau Rouge and up the hill to Radion is pretty much the same layout as what we raced on in the 50s and 60s.
And that's it. And just been sent a message by John Heindhoff about the elevation change. This is a really good one for the stat monkeys among you. The change in elevation from the highest point to the lowest is greater than the height of the clock tower at Westminster, which we know as Big Ben. That's quite a drop. That's a good sort of element to put in your mind and just consider.
We're already pretty high up. We're already pretty high up altitude-wise, which is why we get these changeable weather conditions. We're on the top of a range of hills and mountains in the Ardennes.
Right, let's focus the mind. Shearer Sport PHX, top of the charts with two times for their aggregate. They're getting the third one in this third and final session. They're clear by almost precisely 1 second. Best of the rest is Sancelot Junior Team. So Anton Ducat is the driver who's driving that now. So that meant Paul Evrard was the one who didn't have his name in there for a while, because we had Erwan Bastard still out in that session when we know he was not. But now, as the cars come through Blanchimont, there is bright light, and it's brighter up here, but certainly the climb up from that corner I was just mentioning, the very fast uphill right-hander at Corb Paul Frere. The track may not be fully dry, but certainly the weather is showing rather kinder intent. Right, just to refresh your memories, the best car in the Porsche Cup class is sixth overall. That's Rick Broekers, or it's now Luke Broekers, I beg your pardon, the younger brother, red Camel Jordans. The best of the GTX classes is Lionel Amrouche, now Vortex V8. That's in 12th overall. Best of the TCXs is the Sorgren Sport Porsche Cayman, that's driven now by Seppi Stigler, and the best of the TCX, just in behind. Sorry, that's the one I was just mentioning. I beg your pardon, Seppi Stigler.
And the overall pole position of who will be on the overall pole for tomorrow's race start is now come down to this next just click by under 10 minutes now. So the drivers that are out there now, the number one, Elie Earhart, who's one of the quickest drivers here, he's going to be in the number one, or he is indeed in the number one, the Shearer Sport Audi. The Sonderlock car now with Antoine Duquin at the wheel of that. Frederic Vervich in that Haas RT Audi R8. That is an optimised car in these conditions. Greg Newell, who was a very, very handy AM driver, is in the heart of racing by SBS Mercedes. We've got Tim Muller, another very experienced hand in the Land Motorsport Audi. It's going to be a bit of a fight at the front. And you know what? A car that we've not mentioned yet, the 91, the Herbeth car, that has been out there and just languishing outside of that kind of attention zone that we give the top five. That car currently is in, where is it called? No, seventh overall. And they're on an aggregate time of 2 minutes 30. So a little bit off the pace for that car. And they've had a torrid start to their 2023 championship. They had really bad luck at Dubai, and then they had a gearbox failure of all things on their car at Mugello very early on, and they turned that into a bit of a test session where they were able to run the new car around just for a few laps.
Yeah, but they've got a very, very handy driver on board. Lauren Heinrich, quite late joining the crew this time. It's a four-driver crew. Ralph Byrne, Daniel Annemann, Robert Renauer, and originally it was Alfred Renauer, but Lauren's been slotted in. Very, very quick young Porsche driver. But he's going to have to find about half a second to even move them up one position. So that car sitting seventh overall, that car being the 91 Herberth Motorsport Porsche, but it's still all to play for. But Elliot Earhart, surely a good enough charger in the number one Shearer Sport PHX Audi. That's top of the charts, 1 second to the good of the aggregate across those first two sessions. We'll combine this one as well and get the final aggregate, but certainly it's been a really good job so far. But maybe, just maybe, Fred Verwiesch, of how many times would he have competed here, and how many weather conditions would have the Belgian racer had here? So many years racing an Audi, and he may be the driver who can topple that number one Shearer Sport car. Some very early times coming through, and immediately the number one car is toppled down the charts, but that's because it's just only a handful of drivers have set a third aggregate time, and that is what you require to go to the top of the charts.
Well, this is how mixed the session is, Bruce. We've got two 992 class cars going to the front of the field there momentarily, as Luke Broek has headed the timing charts overall. He's very quickly been pushed down as Frederik Verwiesch goes and puts in a very, very fast time, a purple lap time for that car, 2:35.287. That gives the team an aggregate of 2:29.5.
Yeah, but bear in mind the fastest time we've seen so far was Shearer Sport car. That did a 2:24.9 pretty much, so they're 10 seconds away from that. But you can wait. Now the sun is shining into our eyes in the pit lane. Gosh, it's Spa-Francorchamps, it's changing, but even faster than normal. But Frederik Verwiesch for Haas RT, it's blue, the car largely, but with the flag of Antigua on the roof. He's flashing his lights, making everyone know he's there, but a lot of drivers actually so busy minding their own business, trying to work out where the track is fully wet, where it's partially wet, and even if it's possibly dry anywhere. So Frederik Verwiesch knows he's got 6.5 minutes remaining, so this lap, the next one, and possibly one more to see if he can make sure that Haas RT take pole position in this, only their second race in the series. Obviously came to Mugello, sorry, they did the Dubai 24 hours, but then in the European series, Mugello and here, and they've really made a splash, Haas RT.
The Touring Car Endurance Series part of the Spa 12 hours, we've currently got the number 123, that's the real equipped by Todd Car Sport, the Cooper TCR car. It's got Jorge Bullock Diaz and Jorge Bullock Ruith, father and son team. Jorge Bullock Ruith, the semi-pro driver in that car. It's Alvaro Rodriguez Sastre at the wheel of the car at the moment. And that car right there in the middle overall, middle of the timing screens overall. It's now settled down 26th overall, but currently leading the TCR class. And that, as I say that, Marcus Menden has gone and put a quicker time in the Wolf Power Audi RS3. And that car, the number... what car is
117?
You know what, Bruce? I'm looking at the car, and then it disappears because the timing screen is just changing constantly with these changeable conditions. Times are just whipping through, and the timing screen. Marcus Menden, there he is. He's gone second now in TCR. Marcus Holmgaard in the Holmgaard Motorsport Cupra. He's gone quickest in TCE. So times and lap times and positions on the grid changing rapidly over the course of this qualifying session with under 5 minutes left.
What I need to see is what sort of lap time we're going to get out of Frederik Verwiesch. His car now top on average, his best lap so far, his first flying lap, 2:35, but I tell you what, that's going to be blown out of the water. He's more than two-thirds of the way around the lap, just waiting for him to complete in the 21 Haas RT Audi. It's surely going to just improve their average yet further. But the winning average at the moment, with not that long to go, 4.5 minutes remaining, is an average of 2:29.3. But I think it's going to come down to about 2:26 when the car goes through. 2:34 last time around. So I think he's just had his best lap excluded. Nice. Oh, no, was it 2:37? Now a 2:34? Yes, it was. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. They're very close in the digits.
I think he's got time for two more flying laps as well. However, this might be stifled somewhat because he's got an absolute gaggle of cars that he's got to get round, and that's not going to be an optimised lap time this time by. I wouldn't say balked, stifled somewhat into Le Com there. So Frederik Verwiesch not having clear road in front of him, and that will cause him to lose a bit of time, if not a massive chunk of time. So I'm not expecting anything special next time by for him.
Have to keep an eye out too for Anton Ducroix, who's taken over that 26 Santa Luc Audi. They're second overall on average aggregate at the moment, 0.8 of a second down. But I must say that lap was a 3-second improvement by Frederik Vervisch. This time around, as Joe explained up at Les Combes, he got blocked. He'll still be quick around the lap. His first sector was the quickest of all. However, I think it'll be next time around we see Frederik Vervisch set what could be his best lap. Will it be good enough to keep Passarti at the top? That is a question. Who else is making the moves? Everybody is green on the screen. That means they're going faster than before, but that's simply because the start of this session was wet. It's drying. Cars, as they arrive at Les Combes, no longer using the windscreen wiper unless they're behind anybody else. And as they dive down the slope from there to Double Gauche, it's getting drier and drier.
Got some interesting information from the Red Camel Jordan's team strategist, Paul Truswell. Yes, you may have recognised that name. Luke Breukers, who's currently leading 992, currently seventh overall. He's never driven this 992 Porsche in the wet. So considering that's Luke's first experience in that number 909 Porsche 911 GT3 Cup, to give it its full title, the 992 car, the 992 Cup car, never been driven in the wet. And we know how difficult the 911 Porsches are to drive and get your head around. Luke doing an absolutely cracking job there, and they're holding on to that class pole. Seventh overall, in quite a distance from the next car in the 992 class, which is the P Car Sport. Stennis Longin at the wheel of the 924, 11th overall, second in 992.
Yeah, but 2.8 seconds down on average. But I think this one is going to go right down to probably about 2 minutes after the falling of the checkered flag as the cars complete their final flying lap. But the best lap in this session is a 2 minutes 34, and then the next lap around, we said Fred Vervisch had been blocked. He was 10 seconds slower, but now he's set off. He might actually, no, he's just going to be short of getting one lap beyond this. This will be his final shot, but at the moment, sitting on a margin of 0.8 of a second on aggregate. And of course, they now, all the cars out there have got aggregates across 3 sessions, which they need to count towards qualifying. It's just a question of how much people improve this time around, and will the order change? Let's just go through the order. At the very top, it's Fred Vervisch for Haas RT, second place, Anton Ducat for Santaloc, and the car in third had just come into the pits. There'll be no improvement from Shearer Sport PHX. Three Audis in the top three positions, then Gray Newell doing another really good job for the Heart of Racing Mercedes crew run by SPS. But is there going to be any movement? Let's see.
Yeah, TCE as well. The Holmgard car is chasing down that class pole. Currently chasing down the Marcus Gonda Senker Motorsport BMW, sorry, no, again, it's moved again, the Audi RS3 of Wolf Power of Marcus Menden, chasing down that aggregate time of a 2:47 dead. And the Holmgard car will want to optimise, got a clear road ahead of him, and we know just how quick this team is as we continue to check them out. Magnus Holmgard currently at the wheel, and we'll keep an eye out as we are inside the final 30 seconds. I get a feeling, Bruce, that that timing screen is maybe going to look a little bit different to what we're seeing now. And I'll tell you why, because the rain has stopped, the sun has come out, and we've got such a high ambient temperature, we're very, very quickly going to have the wet track become semi-wet, damp, or even dry in places.
However, there is a yellow flag at turn 18. That's going to scupper everyone's fun. I'm just trying to detect a lot of cars coming in and out of the bus stop rather slowly, and that's surely going to spike their gun. And for Fred Vervisch, he was fastest in Sector 1, fastest in Sector 2. It may actually be irrelevant, because if nobody's going to improve, that yellow flag remains. It's now been withdrawn. Sometimes you can get lucky. It can just be cleared before you come through, so you can get through at full pace. Gray Newell just does his best lap, but the Heart of Racing team, Mercedes, crosses the line, takes the checkered flag in fourth overall. The Shearer Sport PHX Audi is already in the pits. That's sitting in third place. So is it going to be Santaloc, 26 Audi top, or the Haas RT with Fred Vervisch, fellow Audi, number 21? He puts a good time in it. No improvement there, but he set an aggregate of 2 minutes 29.3 seconds, and surely that's going to be enough as Anton Ducat goes around the final lap, and he's going faster than before, but not as fast as Fred Vervisch managed, so that surely will be that, and it'll be an all Audi front row there. 21, that's Haas RT ahead of Santaloc, 26.
992 class, Luke Breukers has crossed the line to take the checkered flag, and he put in a personal best, the fastest lap time of that car's session. No, not the fast lap time of that car session, but his session there coming right at the very end. And now with the car in second place in that 992 class, Ayrton Redondt in the Red Ant Racing car 903, that takes the checkered flag. So starting on the 992 pole will be the Red Camel car. The Porsche of Luke Breukers, Ivo Breukers and Rick Breukers will take a class pole. And our good friend Paul Truswell will be very, very happy indeed. He'll be a happy little bunny down there in the Red Camel pit.
He certainly will. And, fastest driver in that session was Lauren Heinrich, moving that Herbeth Motorsport 91 Porsche, as we were just pointing out, up to sixth overall. So frustration is often the key to a session at Spa-Francorchamps. Frustration for Fred Vavish as the track was drying. He caught all the traffic. His lap was 10 seconds slower. He then all but beat his first flying lap last time out. But it's given them an average aggregate of 0.8 of a second. Haas RT taking pole ahead of Santaloc Junior team. So a really, really good run for them. And we haven't talked too much about the best sounding car out there. It's top the GTX class. And that's the Mark II V8, the VDS Racing Adventures car on home ground. Nick Geelen bringing that home, but they're clearing class by 1.8 seconds over the Vortex V8 of Lionel Amrouche, such a supporter of the series. Top TC class car at the end was Seppi Stigler, the SRS Team Sorg Rennsport Porsche Cayman. 31st position overall, but suitably clear of Marcus Menden, who was higher up the order in that Audi that Rob Huff had vacated. But for a lot of the drivers, the yellow flag at turn 18 will have scuppered their very best. But I think considering how tricky and changeable the conditions were, it was a really very good job from all drivers concerned. We saw a few cars going in the gravel, but every lap, every corner was slightly different from the one before. But with those three 13-minute sessions, it really is quickfire, Joe. One little slip up, one little bit of traffic, and it could be 10 positions further down the grid.
There's a lot of pressure, isn't it? And of course, with the shared responsibility across three drivers, you do not want to be the driver that, you know, has an off and completely destroys that average. And we saw, I mean, we heard Pierre Caffa saying, you've still got to push, you know, you can't hold anything back. But then, you know, that's Pierre Caffa speaking. And, you know, as the professional driver that he is, I would expect to hear that. But we haven't got all professional drivers out there. We've got people who don't do this for a living. And in that changeable condition there, I think a massive round of applause that we did not see at any point any red flags. I thought we might just see that. I didn't want to tempt fate. And a big round of applause to everyone to get through that qualifying session in very fine style. And we've got our grid formed for tomorrow's 12 hours of Spa-Francorchamps.
Wow. And now breathe. That was really quick fire. It's a great qualifying format, but it almost is set up for failure rather than success, because particularly with these weather conditions at Spa-Francorchamps. But for anybody who managed to sort of nail a lap, pride, the pleasure you get from that at Spa-Francorchamps.
You can't make a mistake.
But fastest of all across the three sessions, car number 21, Haas RT, Sandrine Haas's team, with the flag of Antigua on the roof. And four drivers, but only three sessions. Stéphane Perrin, Olivier Bertel, Frédéric Vavish and Mathieu Détruit. So the three Belgian drivers, which was Bertels, Vavish and Détruit, did the qualifying times. Fred Vavish takes that car to the top of the chart and keeps it there. That's after the three qualifying sessions. For Haas RT, you can see they're very pleased indeed. That was and there's Sandrine Haas giving a clap on the back to her driver. But if anybody's going to deliver here any time, it's likely to be Fred Vavish. But home ground with wet conditions, he's your man.
And the Haas RT team starting their Spa campaign where they left off at Mugello. They were on the podium at Abu Dhabi and then they topped the podium, top step of the podium at Mugello. And here they are. They will start tomorrow's race from the pole position and with the likes of Fred Vavish in the lineup as well as the other drivers. Mathieu Détruit, a driver that's really impressed me. First race in the GT categories.
Well, Nick is almost as fast as Fred Vavish, so let's go down and hear from our pole sitter, Frédéric Vavish, with Nick.
Fred, that was more a battle against the elements than the other cars, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's crazy how quick the track dries, so we were doubting you had to put the other tire, but at the end, there's so small time, and with the decision you make in the beginning of the session, you have to go with, but my teammates did a great job in the beginning, and I think more or less everybody was in the same boat. So cool. Very happy for the team after a lot of work.
How frustrating were those last couple of laps when you kept hitting traffic?
Very, and I mean, also, you know, if you were train tires on a dry line, this is also not great. So, and everybody's fighting for a potential lap. So, not easy, but I think we managed to do so. It's a first step. It's very cool, and obviously it's 12 hours, so that's our main goal.
Fred, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Nick, job very well done indeed. And Fred Vavis, always so good at explaining just how it is, Joe.
Yeah, very, very, very good driver indeed.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.